happened? Jetzt gibt es Type Radio.
Hi, this is Christian Schwartz. You're listening to Type Radio, and now we're talking.
Have you lived up to your parents' expectations? You answered a little bit already.
I think they just wanted me to be happy and not worry so much about their expectations. So, yeah. Yeah.
But they are sort of like worried that you were wanted to be a type designer and to try to talk you out of it?
That was a long time ago. That was when I was still in school.
Okay, they don't saying, are you bored yet?
So, no, they don't ask now. No. Now my dad and I just, we talk on the phone a lot, and he's self-employed and I'm self-employed, so we sort of complain about the same thing.
I got screwed.
I can't believe this deadline. And yeah. They cut the budget. And
they still haven't paid the bill. And
does he give you advice?
Yeah, but it's not so much, now, son, here's what you should do. Okay. It's more, we just sort of talk about things and sort of use each other as a sounding board.
So he doesn't say...
No, he doesn't say, you know, here's what you should charge for this.
Okay. And he doesn't say, I remember when I was your age.
No.
You know.
When he was my age, he already had me and was really struggling to get his business going. And it was very... He was in a different place than I am now.
But he's always been self-employed?
Yeah, since before I was born. He worked at Channel 13 in New York for a while and then tried going to school for painting, but it was, even with a full scholarship, it was too expensive to live and buy materials and everything. So he decided to use his animation training and just find some clients and find some work and live in New Hampshire and have a family and a little farm and yeah.
Okay. If you were a font, which font would you be?
I don't know that I'd want to be a font.
Well, suppose you would.
Maybe. Maybe Helvetica, I don't know. Or Neue Haskotesk, the original metal Helvetica. Because it really does its job, and it really looks good doing what it's doing.
Is that how you feel about yourself?
No. That's what but I aspire to.
It really looks good.
It really looks good while it's doing what it's doing.
It does what it does.
But, yeah, Helvetica is kind of... unfairly vilified too. It really is a good typeface. Have either of you ever seen like metal Haas specimens of Helvetica?
I think I have, yeah. Yeah.
No, it's a fantastic typeface. All the forms just really work together.
And is that the font that you would have liked to have designed yourself?
Yeah. Yeah. It's perfect in a way. I mean, that's why it's so popular, I think.
You don't think it's overused or like used wrongly? Well, every font is
used. Yeah, every font's used wrongly for the most part. Except the Guardian stuff, really.
Yeah, well, you have
wow,
to say
what
that.
A coincidence.
Really?
And I'm not just saying that in case they're listening.
No. But for example, how was your collaboration then with Paul? I mean, you said you never worked with him before. How does that work then?
We knew each other a little bit and we had corresponded some and we have similar taste and I think that's a big part of it. And we found out that we have a similar sense of humor. And I think to be able to work with Paul effectively, you have to appreciate and enjoy his sense of humor.
But how were you put together in the first place? Why were there...
Well, shouldn't we like explain a little bit?
Yeah, why don't we start from the beginning?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why don't you
On Monday, the Guardian in London, sort of wonderful left-leading newspaper, relaunched in the new Berliner size. They were a broadsheet before, and it was just too big. A lot of their competition had gone to tabloids, and they had considered going to tabloid, but the Guardian just isn't a tabloid paper. And they're not the kind of paper that can reduce the day's big story to one splashy front page. They're a little more thoughtful. And so they knew they had to get smaller because it's too big to read on the tube comfortably. And circulation was going down. So they went to the Berliner size, which is the same as Le Monde and I think El País in Spain.
Yeah.
And Il Repubblica, which I don't remember if that's Rome or Milan.
I'm not sure if the El País is the same size, but I think it is the Le Monde.
Yeah. Well, Le Monde was sort of the first big Berliner. And I think some of the papers in Switzerland switched first, but Le Monde was the first really, really visible paper to switch to this new size. And so the Guardian bought new presses and invested a whole lot of time and money and effort into relaunching as a Berliner. And I haven't seen the Saturday paper yet. It's sort of the last big test of the format. But so far, the response has been really good, by and large. And I think it was a less radical change than the one in 1988. Because when you sit down with the paper and really get absorbed in it, it still feels like The Guardian, and it still has the same voice, even though it looks pretty different, and it's a totally different size. Oh, and they have color on every page now, which is a big selling point for them.
And so the project was that you...
The project was that Paul and I would design... it sort of morphed, because these things...
Excuse me, who's Paul?
Paul Barnes is a magazine designer and consultant and a vastly underappreciated type designer. I guess a lot of people haven't heard of him because he doesn't release fonts and he doesn't come to conferences and he prefers to stay home and work there and
he works
enjoy
in
life with his family. Yeah.
Okay.
And... So he and I knew each other a little bit because I guess, I don't remember if I contacted him when I saw that he had launched a website and was wondering what it was all about, moderntypography.com, which has been coming soon for 3 years. And I mean, not that I can talk. Orange Italic changes every 2 years if we're lucky, because my partner in that and I are... busy, which is really good, but it means we don't get to devote as much time as we would like to our funny little website.
And so does it say updated in 1999?
We don't want anybody to know when we updated. We hope that people forget.
Yeah. Last updated.
But I don't know if Paul contacted me about FF Bao, because he had done a revival of... I guess old Hasquatesque, which is the same thing with a couple of different characters, because that Shelter in Kisika design was sort of widely copied. And he wanted to know where I got that G from, I think, the two-story, funny, more complex lowercase G. And I think that's how we first got to know each other. And we would just email each other every once in a while. And... So when The Guardian was first going to be redesigned in December of 2003, they wanted to just give it a facelift and put it into the new size. So it was going to be a different serif face and a new Helvetica, going back to Neue Hasquatesque, the real metal stuff. So I did a complete revival of that in about a month.
But how do you feel about doing that in a month's time? I mean, is that...
It was
not too.
It was crushing work.
But were you given such a short deadline then?
Yeah, because they were going to try to launch it really, really fast.
But did you, would you not say that that's too short of a deadline to deliver something like that, or is that...
Oh, fortunately, it was, in terms of design, it was an easy project.
Yeah.
Just make it look like the metal, and make it look good, and make it work. So there weren't a lot of design decisions, like, is this A better than this A, or what should we do with the serifs, or... There wasn't a lot of indecision involved. It was very cut and dried. We just had to do a very good version of this typeface that would look good on their pages. And as the whole thing evolved, we went from the one serif face to maybe the serif face should be custom. So we started drawing something for that. And at this point, Paul and I were first collaborating. So I did the Helvetica by myself.
Was that under, and who was the creative director? Was that,
it's Mark Porter at The Guardian.
Mark Porter, that was also in 2003.
This is early in 2004 now.
Okay.
No, they did the whole redesign in-house.
Okay.
I think it was headed up by Mark Porter and Richard Turley at The Guardian.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's a huge undertaking to put out a paper every day and redesign at the same time, top to bottom. And try to corral your custom type designers into doing what you want. Because it's hard for a lot of clients because they don't have the vocabulary to explain what they really want.
Yeah.
Because they're not used to doing this. So there's sort of a part of every project where you find your common ground, and you learn to understand what each other is saying.
But and whose decision was it to go towards the direction you went into now, the Egyptian?
excuse me.
So we were working on a more elegant serif face. It was going to be a bit more bookish and a little quieter. And it was sort of going around in circles, and we spent quite a few months on it. And it was always close to being the right thing, but it was never quite the right thing. And it wasn't because it was a bad typeface. It just wasn't fitting the kind of pages that they wanted to make, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It was sort of a victim of its own influences in a way, because Mark was telling us a lot of stuff that he liked that he wanted us to incorporate into it. And we said, well, some of these are a little incompatible, but we'll try. And we got it to work as well as it could work. And then he said, well, we need a sans also, because this isn't working with the Helvetica, so we'll get rid of that, which was a little shocking.
Yeah.
But, I did all the work, and it was finished and paid for, so, I mean, I can't complain about that. But, so Paul had the idea that we would turn the serif face into an Egyptian and then trim the serifs off to get the sans, because that's how the first sans serifs were done. They were Egyptians with the serifs filed off. Mm-hmm. And the English claim ownership of the first sans serifs. And I think that's probably true. I spent a lot of time at St. Bride's during this project at the printing library, looking through amazing old specimen books. Mm-hmm. And the Egyptian sort of emerged as the actual choice, the thing that we should be doing and the thing that we should concentrate on and what the paper should use. So it's funny. It was meant to be kind of an evolutionary dead end, just like a missing link from the serif face to the sans that would never actually be used for this. But when they saw it and Paul was looking at it and I was looking at it, and we just sort of all knew that this was actually what we should be doing. So then we finished it up in a whole lot of weights and did text versions and sans text and sans headlines, which they use in, not in the main news section, but in some of the other sections like Media Guardian and an agate custom.
Yeah.
So it ended up being, I think, 200 fonts that we had to generate and deliver, including all the alternate versions with old style figures and different grades of the text, because the presses were still being built in Germany and then shipped over and installed while we were doing all this work. So we couldn't really test the text face in its final form.
On the paper.
Yeah.
Printed by the pressman with the ink. So we did grades, which are weights that are very closely spaced together from lighter to heavier, so that they could test all four grades once the presses were there and the fonts had to be, you know, had been delivered a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they could pick which one worked best right then.
So you had all these four variations.
So we had these four variations completely finished and delivered, and ready for them to use any one of them that worked best.
A lot of work.
It was a lot of work.
And you were pleased with the end result?
Yeah, I think the paper looks fantastic. They're really doing a great job of using the type, and they. It's rare that a client uses the type exactly the way it's intended to be used. But I think over the 18 months, we all got to have a deep enough understanding of all the issues that we were able to do that.
Will you change the fonts in this table, in like a later stage within 6 months? You'll come to new insights and then maybe alter some stuff?
I don't think they'll alter anything. But I think they may discover that they need additional styles. Maybe of the condensed, or I don't know what. Or they could add new sections, or who knows what's going to happen. It's a newspaper that comes out every day.
Yeah. Yeah. And you worked on the masthead? Was that...
That was mostly Paul and Mark. Okay. Mark really designed the masthead, or the nameplate.
Yeah.
And Paul kind of touched it up a bit. And I was very opposed to the all lowercase at first, but it's actually grown on me. I guess I got used to it.
But if you could change it, would you?
Perhaps. Once I saw the way they're lining up the date to the left with the baseline of that type, it wouldn't look as good if that was all on the bottom with no descender. So I don't know. I guess it works.
Yeah, I know this has nothing to do with I found the choice, the blue color I found a strange choice.
Yeah, I don't know what their rationale was behind their whole color palette.
Yeah, because
the blue from the masthead, you mean?
Yeah, because mm-hmm. that has a different connotation. I mean.
Well, it's funny. Every time I've seen it, it's been a different shade of blue. Because I guess the international. I haven't seen a UK edition yet. I think there's going to be 2 weeks worth waiting for me when I get home.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the international presses are not nearly as good because they buy press time from other papers so that it can be printed abroad and not shipped as far. And, yeah, I've seen it as a very, very teal color, and I've seen it as more of a deep
and
Azure.
So, and will it be used also? It will be used for the Weekend magazine and.
Yeah, we did a couple of special condensed Egyptians for that with straight stiff sides. So we were calling it a Steile, like Steile Futura.
Yeah.
While we were working on that. And the one thing they're really concerned about, I think, is that the headlines are very light. So what if there's another huge event? I guess it's easy enough to switch to something bolder. But after the bombings in London in July, we had a discussion about that, you know, whether we had a headline face in the family that had enough kind of punch to it to deliver that kind of news. So hopefully we don't have to find out anytime soon.
So what are you working? What's the next project?
I'm going to take a couple months to not do custom stuff.
Okay.
Because while The Guardian was going on for 18 months, I also finished an entire set of fonts for Bosch with Eric Speakerman, with some help from a couple of designers in New York, and finished the Deutsche Bahn typefaces, also with Eric, with a designer in Delaware. And so I'm just totally worn out right now. And really glad that I left my laptop in New York and I can just enjoy Helsinki. And next week we'll go to St. Petersburg and it'll be nice to be somewhere totally, totally different from what I'm used to.
Yeah.
Is there something you really hate about type design?
Yeah, I hate setting up ID numbers and naming fonts and actually generating them.
The whole production side of it.
The whole, yeah, the last step.
Is the naming font? Fonts. The naming fonts, is that your last step?
Oh, not naming, like coming up with a name for it, but like the OpenType naming tables and the proper PostScript naming tables and setting up ID numbers and copyrights and all that stuff. And checking and rechecking and testing it on the PC and all that stuff. I hate that.
Okay.
So that's why more and more I hire other people to do it for me. Because they can do it faster and better and it's less frustrating.
Are you going to do another recipe like this conference?
If you'd like me to.
Do you have one like ready?
I don't really have one on the top of my head.
Okay. Well, maybe you can think about coming later and do it. Because I think it's really nice. It's really nice to listen to. And especially like play it before dinner and you're like, yeah, you're really getting into it, you know?
It's like you're pushing it now. Yeah.
I know.
I think the chicken stock was awful. No.
You had it?
Are you a vegetarian?
No. Okay.
Thanks for this conversation.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Typeradio.org. Broadcasting from Helsinki, ATYPI 2005.